I'm Dennis Owsley. Welcome to the second hour of Jazz Unlimited. Our guest in this hour is Keon Harold, who is a St. Louis trumpeter, and he will be taking part in a tribute to St. Louis trumpeters with the Jazz Edge Big Band, and that will be this Friday, May the 30th, at 7 to 9 p.m. Keon will be there along with Russell Gunn and pianist Danny Mixon from 7 to 9 at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center Lee Theater. Welcome, Keon. And
hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Since you're from St. Louis, I just have to ask, where'd you go to high school?
Went to McClure High School also. Went to Central Vision Performing Arts, VAP, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And together, like I would go to VAP after school.
Okay. Who were some of your teachers?
Tommy Moore was a teacher.
Okay.
Bob Edwards, Robert Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
He was one.
I know him.
Well, yeah.
And I understand you had Susan Slaughter as a teacher for some part in time.
I did. Yeah, I was a lucky dude.
Yeah. It's interesting because in the history of the music here in St. Louis, the symphony musicians have apparently always been involved in some way with the jazz musicians.
I mean, I think it goes hand in hand. I mean, as far as a technical outlook on the instrument, the trumpet is one of those instruments that, I mean, to be able to play just about anything, you have to have technical facility, and I think they go hand in hand.
Yep, that's right. What changed your mind or what got you interested in jazz?
What had a lot to do with it was my grandfather. He ran the Memorial Lancers Drum and Bugle Corps.
Mm-hmm.
So my family was indebted, like that's, you know, from the age of six on, we were figuring out how to play, you know, drums or some kind of horn, baritone, trumpet or whatever, just to, you know, make music and, you know, be together and, you know, perform and do parades and stuff like that. We've been doing that for as long as I can remember.
Wow.
And he was, you know, a huge fan of the Basie band, so we would do stuff like I Can't Stop Loving You. We do stuff, The Start of Something Big, and we would, you know, just do those songs, and I would, you know, play them, but I wasn't really into the improvisation yet, but I always had a love for music like that, you know, big music, big horns, and just, you know, a sound that wasn't necessarily what all my friends were listening to on the radio at the time. So I was always connected to it from as long as I could remember. But I got into jazz when I was, you know, maybe 12, 13. I started really listening, trying to play like Cat Anderson, trying to play like the Duke recordings, you know, stomping at the Savoy, you know, just trying to do music. And I didn't really know what I was really doing when I started, you know, transcribing stuff off the radio, taping stuff with actual tapes and trying to play it and trying to, you know, rehearse it and trying to get it just like, you know, Maynard Ferguson or whoever.
Right.
You know, Lee Morgan, Clifford Brown, Freddie, you know, Miles, anybody I could, I was trying to play and sound like, but I had no idea that I was actually learning, you know, jazz.
Right. Speaking of learning jazz, you went to Vail in their almost jazz boot camp, I would imagine,
yeah,
in 1997.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. I know all the Claytons and all those guys that run that.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of stuff did you learn there?
I mean, there was more about performing, and it was more about, you know, learning, you know, networking a lot. I mean, it wasn't most like the kids who was selected to be there. Rest in peace, Barbara Rose. She sent me out there. You know, because kids had already pretty much figured it out, you know, a little bit. They had a, you know, a nice start at, you know, playing jazz. So when I was there, I mean, a group of my, my fellow players, I mean, that's where I met Robert Glasper, amazing jazz pianist right now. You know, from that, it was more about the networking and, you know, tying to the scene. I met Terrell Stafford, of course, the Clayton brothers. I also saw Art Former for the first time. I saw, let me see, who else did I see there? Monty Alexander. There's so many people there just at the jazz party that, you know, just inspired me to keep going. It was more of a motivating thing. And, you know, meeting them told me that I needed to go to New York to, you know, to take it to the next level.
Yeah, according to what I've heard from Howard Stone, about 80% of the people that go through that program end up as professional musicians. So they got to be doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, most of the kids that go there have already spent so much time, close to their 10,000 hours of mastery already. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
It's you know, pretty serious opportunity, and I'm, you know, very happy and privileged that I had the opportunity to experience that.
Well, since this is a music show, why don't we play some music from your album as a leader, Meet Keon Harold. It's on Crisscross, and here is the track Keon Beyond. You're listening to Jazz Unlimited. I'm Dennis Owsley, and we heard Keon Beyond from Keon Herald's group on Crisscross, and the personnel, Keon was playing trumpet, Marcus Strickland was on soprano, Danny Grissett on piano, Zeron Douglas on bass, and E.J. Strickland on drums, and it's a 2008 recording. Keon, you've been an awfully busy player, it seems to me, reading your bio, and I guess to make a living in New York, you just can't be doing gigs.
I mean, you got to do the right gigs, definitely that. I mean, but, you know, I've been blessed to be in a position to work with a lot of different kind of people, great musicians, great artists, and I'm really happy about that.
All right, you're on a tour right now with a Michael Jackson remembrance.
I was on the Michael Jackson Immortal World Tour with Cirque du Soleil.
Okay.
Greg Fillinganes, the music director, and got a chance to work, you know, directly with a lot of the guys who work with Michael Jackson, all the way up to his deathbed. Jonathan Moffitt on drums, Don Boyette. Got a chance to really, you know, learn and rub shoulders with them and learn, you know, what it took.
Yeah.
You know, to be great like somebody like Michael Jackson.
I know one of the things that I've always liked is Charles Tolliver's trumpet playing and his big band. And I know you played in a couple of those big band records of his. How was that experience?
Oh, it was amazing. Charles is a friend of mine, mentor of mine. One of my teachers at the New School, I studied at Mannes New School of Music in New York. He's just one of my biggest fans, one of my biggest, you know, people that I look up to as a player and just as a person who's been through it and played with everybody. So it was a pure honor. I mean, he would give me pretty much the green light to just play. even though he's a trumpet player himself, he was just, you know, point at me, go for it, and just let me burn. So that to me is invaluable. I've, you know, totally loved that experience.
Yeah, I noticed that he was on one track on Meet Keon Herald also.
Yep. Special thanks to him for that.
Right. Well, one of the musicians that you wanted to talk a little bit about is Clifford Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what you think a little bit about Clifford, and then we'll play something from him?
I mean, Clifford Brown is the epitome of the trumpet to me, the epitome of a trumpet player and what jazz should sound like when somebody, you know, picks up the horn. I mean, when I say what it should sound like, I mean, nobody else has done it. So it's one of those things. He's just, you know, just a joy to listen to. He's just, you know, I mean, he's one of the people who have put it all together when it comes to lyricism on the trumpet, when it comes to technical facility, when it comes to, you know, just individuality, when it comes to having a sound, when it comes to, you know, the blues being in the progressions. He's put all that together, and, I mean, he's one of my biggest influences as a trumpet player. Totally inspiring every time I hear him.
Well, here's one of his inspirational recordings, Cherokee, from 1953.
Thank you.
This is Jazz Unlimited. I'm Dennis Owsley, and before our station break, we heard Cherokee by Clifford Brown on trumpet, Gigi Grice on alto, Charlie Rouse on tenor, John Lewis piano, Percy Heath bass, and Art Blakey on drums. It was a 1953 recording. And my guest tonight is St. Louis trumpeter Keon Harrell, who will be playing at a tribute to St. Louis trumpeters with the Jazz Edge Big Band coming up on this Friday, May the 30th from 7 to 9 at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center, Leaf Theater on the campus of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Anything more about that joyous sound of Clifford Brown, Keon?
I mean, it speaks for itself. I want to hear it again.
Yeah, one of the guys that, of course, is the best known person for as far as a trumpet player goes is Miles Davis. And, of course, Miles is just one part of this huge long line of trumpet players that go back actually to a guy by the name of Tyler, as far as I've heard, before the turn of the 1900s. And goes up through Charlie Kreth and Dewey Jackson and Clark Terry and Shorty Baker and
Russell Gunn,
Miles, Lester Bowie. We've always had this tradition of trumpet players. And do you have any idea why?
You know what it is to me when I listen, you know, to each one of those people. St. Louis, for some reason, has a crock pot that says, you know, don't play it like somebody else would play it. Take what they did and build on it. Each one of the St. Louis trumpet players I know. No, they never sound like anybody else, but they yet have a sound that's very unique, very personal, and exploratory.
Yeah, it is, and the thing that's interesting is that you can take those trumpet players and start with Charlie Kreth, and you can go all the way up through Lester Bowie and you guys, Russell and you can hear the evolution of the sound.
Mm-hmm.
You can just hear it evolve. And one of the things I do in my lectures on St. Louis jazz is, in fact, to play that for people. And the interesting thing is that all of those early trumpet players came out of one Odd Fellows kid band. And that was kind of amazing for me to find out.
What, was that Eddie Randall?
No, actually, this was William Thornton Blue's father, William Blue, was the bandmaster there, and this goes back to 1914.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and speaking of Eddie Randall, Miles Davis worked with Eddie Randall, got his first job
Randall. I mean, that's a cousin. So
oh, Eddie's a cousin.
The Randalls, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew Mr. Randall very, very well. For some reason, when I did an interview with him back in 86, he and I just hit it off like you wouldn't believe. And I talked to him once a week at least and was up at his funeral home probably once a month sitting just and talking with him.
He
called me his Souther son. So we were very close. And one of the things about Miles is his signature sound of the Harmon mute with the stem out.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't we listen to Miles with the Gil Evans Orchestra doing Summertime from Porgy and Bess. that sound of Miles always gives me chills. I'm Dennis Owsley, and this is Jazz Unlimited, and we heard Summertime with Miles Davis on Harmon Muted Trumpet with the Gil Evans Orchestra. My guest tonight is Keon Harold, who is one of the long line of St. Louis trumpet players. Keon, do you use a Harmon Mute very much?
That's like asking the plumber, do they use wrenches?
Well, some guys don't, you know. Yeah,
in their private time they do.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm just talking. But yeah, I definitely use Harmon Mute. It's a part of what I do right now. When I'm, you know, playing solo and I want to, you know, slow it down or, you know, get the mood right or just, you know, recording sections or whatever. I need it. It's essential. I need that sizzle sometimes.
Yeah.
Give people a break from the brute trumpet sound.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Right.
Romance them a little bit.
Right. You know, one of the things I discovered when I was over at the Randalls one time, Eddie showed me a picture, and it's in my book, of him playing his trumpet with a Harmon Mute and the stem was out, and it was in 1946. Mm-hmm. So Miles learned that from Eddie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now that is, see, that's great.
What about Freddie Hubbard? It's another trumpet player you liked.
Freddie is, once again, I mean, it's, to me, one of the most amazing players ever. I mean, for his ability to, you know, improvise and his ability to execute just about any passage with, you know, with joy and ease that nobody could ever even imagine how difficult it is. It just sounds so easy when he plays and, you know, it's so forceful and brilliant when he does it. It's just awesome to me. Freddie is just, you know, one of my biggest influences as far as interpretation. And to me, he's the epitome of the jazz trumpet. Clifford Brown is as well. Miles is as well. But Freddie, as far as I think when he did it, changed the culture of what the technique should be to improvise as a trumpet player. When he brought that fire and just, you know, just energy to it.
Yeah, I remember, well, I've been around a long time and following the music since 1958. And I remember seeing him with the Messengers a couple of times.
Wow.
With Curtis Fuller and Wayne and Cedar Walton and those guys. So I've always been a huge Freddie Hubbard fan. And this is from a recording that's not as well known as his Blue Note things. It's an Atlantic recording called Backlash. And he's on trumpet with James Spalding on alto, Albert Daly on piano, Bob Cunningham bass, Ray Appleton drums. And as was the style moving in that direction by 1966, a percussionist, Ray Barreto.
We'll be right back.
I'm Dennis Owsley, and you're listening to Jazz Unlimited. And before the station break, we heard Backlash from the CD of the same name on Atlantic, Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, James Spaulding on alto, Albert Daly piano, one of my favorite piano players we don't hear enough of, Bob Cunningham bass, Ray Appleton drums, and Ray Barreto on percussion. That's a 1966 recording. And my guest tonight is trumpeter Keon Harold, who will be at a tribute to St. Louis Trumpeters with the Jazz Edge Big Band, along with Russell Gunn and Danny Mixon. And that'll be this coming Friday, May the 30th, at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Keon, more about Freddie Hubbard.
Freddie is, I mean, it's exciting to me to listen to him. And I mean, I aspire to, when I record or when I play, to bring that much excitement to it, you know, because I want people to feel what I'm doing, or feel, you know, feel me. And I feel Freddie does that so well, as good as anybody. And, you know, I just love it.
Yeah, one of the things that he had in his letter days was a lot of lip trouble, it seemed to me. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I don't know, maybe it was because he played so hard. I don't know what. But I understand he had a lot of split lips and other things. But, you know, when he was healthy, he was just amazing still.
Yeah, but, I mean, the funny part about that is, I mean, Freddie, when he hit the scene, late 1950s, 60s. Yeah. 70s, 80s,
yeah.
90s, into, you know, the 2000s. I mean, the trumpet is just one of those instruments that's so physical. I mean, if somebody walks up to me and, you know, let me knock on some wood and hits me in the lip, I literally can't play.
Yeah.
And to be putting a piece of metal to your mouth for that long, I'm sure it has some kind of effects, probably. I mean, but, you know, it's amazing that he did it for so long at such a amazing level. I mean, I fortunately got a chance to meet him. I'm happy about that.
That's great. Well, you know, Louis Armstrong from the 30s on used to have all kinds of lip trouble and was always splitting his lips and stuff like that. And somehow he played through all of it, and I don't know how he did it.
I was about to say, I never heard it.
Yeah, you never heard it. That's right.
Never heard the lip problem.
Yeah, you never did. And I'd like to play one more from your album. This is The Awakening from Meet Keon Harold on Crisscross. Thank you. I'm Dennis Owsley, and you're listening to Jazz Unlimited. And before the station break, we heard The Awakening from Meet Keon Harold on Crisscross. Personnel, Keon was playing trumpet, Marcus Strickland on tenor, Danny Grissett on piano, Zeron Douglas on bass, and E.J. Strickland on drums, and it's a 2008 recording. Can you tell me a little bit about that track, Keon?
I mean, that whole record, when I recorded it, I was, you know, pretty much on a spiritual kind of journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that took on the name, The Awakening, because I was, you know, really just discovering things about myself, discovering things about my life. I had just had my son, you know, 2 years earlier. So it was more so, you know, trying to come of age. That's why that song took that title. Good times to, you know, to look back and reflect on it.
Great. Well, what's in store for you after you leave the Michael Jackson gig?
Just doing more of my own stuff, doing more tributes to Miles, doing a lot of recording for a lot of Blue Note artists, working with Derek Hodge, working with Chris Dave, working with Marcus Strickland on some stuff with him, working on my new record.
Oh, good.
Hopefully that'll be around this year.
Okay. Late.
Still doing a lot of tours here and there with, you know, Maxwell and a couple more I can't really say right now. Just, you know, staying busy, staying productive, and, you know, producing a lot of music. I mean, I love jazz, but I love pop music. I love rap music. I love gospel music. So I do a little bit of it all, and I love it all. But a lot of my roots come from, you know, jazz more so than anything. You know, I just want to change the climate of music and give it content. So that's where I'm at right now. That's why just taking some time to really just play. And, you know, to just experience and to just, you know, give life.
Well, thank you very much. I really am honored to be able to have you here on Jazz Unlimited tonight. And please remember that Keon will be playing in the Tribute to St. Louis Trumpeters with the Jazz Edge Big Band. And that will be this Friday, May the 30th, from 7 to 9 at the Two Hill. Thanks again very much for being with me tonight, Keon.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Please stay tuned for new music. I'm Dennis Owsley. Thanks to Keon Harold for spending some time with us, reminding you that he will be heard along with Russell Gunn and Danny Mixon in a tribute to St. Louis Trumpeters with the Jazz Edge Big Band at the Two Hill this coming Friday night at 8 o'clock. We're going to start now with our new music. And one of the things that I want to make a quick comment about is that the stuff that you're going to hear in the third hour sounds, in several cases, like contemporary classical music. Although we don't know whether some of it is written or improvised. But we're going to start now with one called Ganga Zombie. An interesting CD by a man by the name of Charlie Denard. And he's from Alabama, apparently, and lives and works in New Orleans now. And the title of the CD is From Brazil to New Orleans on the charliedenard.com label. And he's on piano and synthesizer, Doug Belit on drums, Tommy Seipel bass, Steve Mazakowski guitar, Brent Rose on soprano and flute, James Mack percussion, and Tatiana Parra on vocal in 2013. Thank you.
foi, virrei Congo. Depois da Calunga, além do mar. Foi pro Cangerê de Zâmbia, Pongo, no terreiro grande de Oxalá.
I'm Dennis Owsley, and that concludes the second hour of Jazz Unlimited. It's called Ganga Zumbi, from a CD on charliedenard.com, from Brazil to New Orleans. Charlie Denard is the leader and plays piano on synthesizer, Doug Bleet on drums, Tommy Seipel on bass, Steve Mazikowski on guitar, Brent Rose soprano and flute, James Mack on percussion, and Tatiana Parra on vocal, and it's a 2013 recording. Please stay tuned for J.C. Styles and his group doing Stretching, from a CD on Showplace called Blakey Grease. And Stretching is a tune by James Williams, one of the Jazz Messengers. Following the station break,